Hey everybody, welcome to the Gloves Off Hockey Podcast, the first episode, which is going to be a complete clusterfuck since we're Gloves Off Hockey and we do shit weird here. But I'm joined today with Christian, Ben, and Doug.
What's up?
Hello.
So we're basically just going to be talking about some of the past moves in the NHL late, the past trades, free agency, a little bit of other things and stuff like that. But first off, we just celebrated 4th of July here in the United States, so that was a fun time. Any of you guys have any fun stories from your 4th of July or any past 4th of July experiences?
Man, I mean, not this year, but I almost lost my hearing one year because I was trying to light off orders at once. And I got the first two lit and wasn't paying attention to how much time had passed. The third one, like, I was having problems with the lighter. And right as I got it lit and I start to stand up, the first mortar shoots off. And my ear was ringing for the rest of the night. So that one was pretty good. And I think earlier in that night, too, it was either that night or the next year, we shot some Roman candles out of paper lanterns. And we'd been doing it for a couple of years, trying to shoot one down. We finally did it, but we didn't really think it through. And when you shoot a paper lantern with a Roman candle, it just turned into a ball of fire that comes flying back down towards the ground at you. So that was also exciting because we had no fucking idea what we were doing.
Nice. What about you, Christian? You got any fun Canada Day stories since you're the lone Canadian?
Not really. There's Canada Day is not as big as a celebration as 4th of July. People just kind of stand around watching fireworks. That's about it. Nothing, not like you guys down there.
Nice. I know a couple years ago, me and a few buddies, we just bought a whole bunch of fireworks. Never set them off before. And we set the mortar. We had the mortar in the back of my friend's truck just setting them off in front of this neighborhood. Like, it's a decent-sized neighborhood. We're not in the middle of the country or nothing like that. So there's houses all around us, and we're just setting fireworks off. Well, my buddy, he goes to light one, and it doesn't light, so he walks back up there and lights it, and within like a half a second, it just lit off with him standing right next to it. And then he lit another one, and as soon as he lit it, he accidentally tipped it over. So this thing is shooting off fireworks like a sprinkler. It's just going around in circles, shooting off fireworks. Me and my buddies were all running around for cover of trying not to get taken out by these fireworks. So that was a fun experience I never want to go through again.
Nah, it's totally worth it. It's almost as good as being a kid and just stealing a bunch of firecrackers and setting a frog's ass or something.
Right, and I was actually recording it on my phone as well. And I lost a video of it, but you can see fireworks just coming right at me on the phone, on the video. Like, you can just see them going right by the phone and stuff. So, what about you, Doug? You got anything, any fun stories?
Not that I can remember. I mean, since I was 16, I've just been working every holiday. Get that holiday pay. But, no, not this year especially.
Alright. Well, we'll move on to the hockey talk. So, the one thing I do want to bring up is the offer sheet by Montreal, which we all wanted an offer sheet, and we got the offer sheet, although it wasn't the offer sheet that we all expected. It was kind of a low ball where Montreal offered Sebastian Aho, $8.5 million AAV?
Well, the Canes matched it either way.
Yeah, so no matter what it was, the Canes are going to match it. I think, I would say, like, for that, I would say 10 mil. I think they wouldn't have matched it after that. Like, that's losing a big piece of your team. And I think, I don't know what Bergevin was thinking, because I think that was one of the dumbest moves I've seen him make in a long time. I was gaining respect for him. You know, he's making some good moves, but that was silly.
Well, and you think about it, too, the Hurricanes are basically in the witness protection program. Who can you name on that team past Aho? That's about it. And this team made it into the playoffs. They were the ire of Don Cherry for half the fucking season.
Bunch of jerks.
But who the fuck can you name on that team? You know?
Who Is Justin Falk, he's there, right? Or he got traded, didn't he? I don't remember.
No, he's still there. He's still there.
Okay, yeah, so Justin Falk, Peter Mrazek. Other than that, I have...
No, you got Teravainen.
Oh, yeah,
You got Hamilton. You got, Mrazek.
Right.
Justin Williams. So I guess he's free agent now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a free agent.
That's all I can think of, at least.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else. Well...
You know, they're the Coyotes of the East.
Well, they are, except they made
the conference finals, and the Coyotes haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. You know.
What do you guys think about the other report that Bergeron also tried to offer sheet Braden Point, but Braden Point turned that down, which I thought was pretty funny. It's like...
I'd want to stay in Tampa Bay, so...
Right.
If my options are Tampa Bay or Montreal, one, I'm on the beach, so automatically I know where I want to stay.
It's not Montreal, so that like there's like an automatic no for me.
Exactly, and and besides any kind of jokes we want to make about fuck going to Canada, right? Who wants to live in Canada? Who wants to live in French Canada?
Exactly.
Sorry, but the bigger issue is you go play for the Canadiens. It's like being on the Yankees. It's like being, playing in New York or playing in LA where everybody's always up your ass. And it's like to the nth degree. And it's just not fucking worth it. You see guys, just look at what Subban's done after leaving Montreal.
Right. Oh, speaking of Subban, he's going to New Jersey, which.
I think he's probably going to – I don't know. I don't want to say he's going to be a big help there, but I think he's going to help turn that team around some.
Somewhat.
Right. There's speculation that Bergeron might also try and offer sheet Mitch Marner. What do you think about that, Christian, since you're the Leafs one here?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. Mitch Marner's asking too much money for him to be offer sheeted, I think. Obviously, there's going to be rumors about it, and that's the whole thing that started this whole offer sheet thing was Sportsnet and TSN riding Marner's dick all season about him getting offer sheeted because, I don't know. It's silly to me. I mean, I was surprised there was an offer sheet. I honestly expected not to see that whatsoever. But I think... A player like Mitch Marner, like I said, is asking too much money for him to be offer sheeted. And I think for him to sign anything, it's going to have to be at least for him to sign anything, it's going to be at least $12 million plus. That's what I'm thinking at least. But sure. Anything under 12, I think the Leafs will match, and they'll have to ship some players out, and I think they'll have to make it work. But
well, yeah, they're going to ship players out anyway just to get them signed. Like,
yeah.
I think the other thing you look at with the Leafs, especially, is look at the success the Blackhawks had early 2000 through about 2010, about 2015. They did it by drafting good young players and keeping them here. They've still got Toews and Kane for another 2 years, I think. I think it's through 2022, maybe. They still have Keith on an enormous contract. They still have Seabrook on an enormous contract. I'm not saying that's the best way to do things. Obviously, there comes a point, and they talk about it all the time, what's the championship window for this team? And I can't say where the Leafs' window is, but I think that's kind of what they're building towards. And losing Marner would only – it's not going to close that window. I'm not saying that at all. But it's definitely going to change how they kind of build their team and how big that window is going to be for them.
Well, I'm just looking at the terms of some of the players we have here that have been signed for a while. And Riley's done, he's UFA in 2022. We have Kapanen and Johnsson, they just both signed. They're both free agents 2023. Willie Nylander, 2023. I mean, and then obviously, Muzzin, Barry, CeCe. I don't care about CeCe. I was surprised they even signed him. Muzzin and Barry are both free agents next year. That's going to, one of those are going to have to be signed. Like, absolutely one of them is going to have to be signed. We can't lose them. And then Anderson, the goalie, he's UFA 2021. So their window, I would say, is between now and 2021, 2022. I think they have to get it done between now and then. And that's my opinion. But, I mean, if you told me 3 years ago that we'd have John Tavares, Tyson Barrie, and Jake Muzzin all on the same team, I would call you fucking insane.
Well, they still have to beat Boston for once, which they haven't been able to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I think losing Kadri is going to help that, to be completely honest. He's kind of destroyed the team doing that, I think. Yeah, completely reckless. He needs to hold his cool when things like that happens. He just needs to, I think, drop the gloves instead of just Kadri ramming his stick into people's... He never will. I think we have a better chance without Kadri. As much as I love Kadri as a player, he went through all the bullshit that the Leafs went through. I was sad to see him go, but I'm happy for where the team's heading, and I think without Kadri, it's a better team.
Oh, we'll see if they get Marner signed. That's going to be the big thing for them to do this offseason. But yeah, like you were saying, Ben, about drafting as a way to make teams. Well, I mean, you can look at Tampa Bay and be like, they drafted all their players, and, well, not all their players, but a good majority of their young players they've drafted, and they were one of the, I mean, they made the playoffs, they dominated this regular season, but playoffs came around, they were the biggest embarrassment we've seen in an NHL in years.
Fucking ever, shit.
So, oh, absolutely. That was horrible. You know, Christian mentioned the Tavares signing. Like, to me, that's exactly what you want to do for a team that you're wanting to push to try and have a deep run, have a shot at the cup, get to a finals. Letting a guy like Marner go, not the move I think I would make.
No.
I think they'll probably do what they have to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep Marner if you're going to be competitive. I mean, they added some defense, which was one of their concerns, and one of their issues was lack of defense. Well, you added some defense, so I'm not.
In my opinion,
yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. In my opinion, we've got enough forward depth that I don't want to lose Marner. Obviously, I don't want to lose Marner whatsoever. But if we have to lose Marner to upgrade our defense, I'm all for it.
I mean, you're going to get some hell of a defenseman if you trade Marner for defense or something.
Well, I wouldn't say trading him, but we have, like I said, we have Barry and Muzzin we need to sign. I'd rather sign Barry, but he's a big, big improvement on that blue line, especially playing with Riley on that top pair. And, yeah, if we need to lose a player to get that done, I'm all for it.
That is, to me, that's just like crazy talk saying, yeah, I'm okay losing Marner to bolster up defense. Like, to me.
Well, I mean, we've got Tavares, we've got Matthews, we have Nylander, who I'm guaranteed is going to have a better year. Johnsson and Kapanen are both young. Johnsson has a lot of improving to do, he's got a lot of upside to him. Kapanen, we have players in the minors. I don't want to lose Marner. I like Marner. He's a very good player, but I don't think he's worth what he's asking.
I don't even know Marner's stats, but I know they've been pretty good. But I don't know. To me, I would move Tavares. Like, he's older, more expensive. It's like, you're going to get some good stuff back for Tavares, and Marner being younger, he's going to develop even more. And he could be a better player than what Tavares was.
I get that, but yeah, Tavares is also center. Here's Marner's stats. So his first year, he had 61 points, 42 assists, 19 goals. Second year, 69 points, 47 assists, 22 goals. And then the year he gets put onto Tavares' line, he has 94 points, 68 assists, 26 goals. So I think he still needs to prove himself that he can still put up more 90-point seasons. Like, 61, 69 point seasons, like, and that's good, but I still think that's around, you know, the 8.5, 9 mil, like, other players have been getting that have been putting up 60-point seasons. Nylander, I believe he had two back-to-back 60-point seasons, and he got the 6.9 mil. Yeah, 61 points back-to-back seasons, and then got the contract where he held out, and then he obviously only put out 27 points. It was a weak year. But I think Marner still has to prove that he can put up another 80-plus point season for him to be asking for more money than Tavares and Matthews as a winger.
Well, I mean, you can start, like, he's probably just starting off high with his negotiations and will come down during time. Doug.
What's up?
Oh, fuck. Do you think the Leafs would give Marner, or let me rephrase that, do you think Marner would give the Leafs the hometown discount? You know, not that, I don't know, if I don't think he's from Toronto or nothing. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Tavares took a lot less money. He took like $2 million less to come play in Toronto. I was hoping he did, and honestly, I was thinking that he would have been signed before Matthews. It's just crazy to me that the kid from Arizona signed a lot quicker to play with the Leafs than the kid that was born and raised a Leafs fan. But that's just my opinion.
You're saying what would he get pretty much?
What do you mean?
How much money he's going to get? I think he's going to get over 10.
Someone will offer sheet him 10.
I would have been happy with 10.5. I think that's what
he's worth. But I think for the Leafs to keep everybody, it's got to be maybe under 11.
Oh, it doesn't help that the cap didn't go up as high as everyone thought it was going to go up either.
Yeah. That too.
All right, so moving on from Mitch Marner, who are some of the winners do you guys think from the free agency this year so far?
As far as players or as far as teams?
Teams. Like, what teams do you think did pretty good at the free agency?
I think Florida did good.
Detroit's count?
Detroit.
Detroit's count. I would say Trades would, because it's all this summer. I mean, there's no hockey to watch.
Oh,
all we got is free agents. Free agents and trades. That's all we got right now.
Yeah. See, I mean, of course, like, okay, who had the best offseason? What teams had the best offseason?
I would say Florida and the Leafs.
Florida and Leafs. What about, I mean, I'd say Nashville had one of the best offseasons. You got Duchesne.
They also lost a defenseman.
Subban? He was injured most of the season anyway. He wasn't as productive as he has been. He had a down season.
Yeah, on that, they didn't have a great... I mean, they made the playoffs, but they didn't have a great season as they have the last couple of seasons.
No.
I think Subban's a big loss for them, to be fair. They didn't get much return for Subban whatsoever than what most people thought he would have gone for, but...
No, but they,
yeah, Duchesne's a big ad, but...
They still have a good goalie. They still have a good defensive core there in Nashville, where losing Subban's not going to be a make-or-break deal, you know? I still think Nashville's one of the better ones that came out. Florida...
Florida got their goalie. They got a goalie, finally.
They got their goalie, but, I mean, Bobrovsky doesn't exactly have a stellar playoff record. He didn't win his first series until this year, and he's already...
They did get a new coach, though. Quenneville, that's going to be a big boost, I think, especially for Bobrovsky as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely adding in Bobrovsky and Quenneville definitely helps. So yeah, Florida, Toronto...
I don't think you can call Chicago a big one, but can we just talk about the fact that they actually have a goal? Crawford's out for half the season now.
No,
because
no one really cares about Chicago.
Here's my thing: is their defense still needs a lot of work. That's going to be a thing for a while.
Well, yeah, but when you're putting Seabrook in, and what's his face are a massive deal still. It's going to be
yeah, no, exactly. But when you're trotting out goalies that should have retired, like fucking Cam Ward. And you've got, I can't even remember the kid's name, but you're trotting out guys that just aren't ready for the NHL yet. Like, you're not gonna succeed no matter how good your defense in front of them is.
I mean, look, it's Chicago. They've had their run. They were a dynasty. It's time for them to come on the other end now. Like, you're going to suck for a little bit now. It's going to happen. You can't be good every single year. I know you guys were good for a decade, but, you know, it's kind of time to... It's your guys' turn to suck now.
Oh, and I think it's going to be a good few years. I think they drafted all right. I don't think they addressed all the needs that they needed to in the draft. But I don't think Bowman's made as awful of decisions as a lot of people will say he did. The more you sit and look at everything he's done, it's not as bad as it looks at first, basically.
Well, no, I don't think anyone's really expecting Chicago to turn it all around in just a couple seasons. Like, you're going to have to draft well. You're not going to do all that in one draft. It's going to be a few drafts and the development and trades and whatnot. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a couple more years before you guys turn it around and become competitive again, especially being in the Central Division, which is already one of the best divisions in the NHL. You're going to have to wait a while. It's your turn to suck for the next few years.
Thank you.
Speaking of the Central Division, Dallas... They added Corey Perry on a one-year deal, which his contract does have a bunch of bonuses. And they also added Joe Pavelski, who got a three-year, $7 million AAV deal for $21 million. So Dallas is another one of those teams that had a pretty good offseason. And they came within one goal of making it to the conference finals before when they lost to St. Louis there in overtime. So now, I mean, like, the Central Division's getting better. So Colorado, I mean, they're going to be a contender there for the next few years with what they've got going on over there.
And like you said, the Central Division's best. It's arguably the best division in the Western Conference.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely.
In the Western Conference, for sure.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, the Metro was the best conference in the Eastern Division. It's not as good now because Columbus has just fallen off with every player they lost this offseason. They went for it at the trade deadline, and then they just lost basically everybody this offseason. So Columbus just took a huge, huge hit. Pittsburgh and Washington, they're pretty much just holding steady where they are. They're still one of the better teams in the Metro. Boston's going to be good. Toronto's going to be good. Florida's going to improve. Buffalo, they look good, and then they took a nosedive. Like, they went on that 10-game win streak, was with the best team in the NHL, and they just nosedived. They did.
That's fucking Buffalo sports, man. I mean, look at what the fucking Bills did last year in the NFL, man.
Oh yeah,
start off hot as shit, and now I got a buddy. That's a big Buffalo sports fan. I called him. I was like, "Man, what you thinking?" He's like, "Well, you saw the football season." He's like, "I ain't getting my hopes up for shit yet."
Right. So yeah, I mean,
I think for them, it's almost a fucking culture thing at this point.
Oh, it is. No, it is. I mean, I live in Buffalo, so I'm surrounded by everybody. All the Sabres and Bills fans, and they're pretty much just like, yep, that's just how stuff goes here. We're used to it.
It's fucking hilarious. Season. It's hilarious.
Well, speaking of teams that just suck all the time, Phil Kessel is going to Arizona.
Yes! Hey, so we got one of the best hot dog places here, Ted's Hot Dogs. It's in Tempe, hot college bays all the time over there. He'll love it.
So Arizona has won their Stanley Cup of getting Phil Kessel in a trade. And they gave up. What was it they gave up? Galchenyuk?
Galchenyuk.
Yeah. Galchenyuk.
And I'm just saying that.
One for one.
And a draft pick.
Yeah.
Did it?
Who gives a shit about that?
Yeah, no. We don't see one for one trades anymore. Well, not very
good. No, the last one was what, Hall for
No, it was Weber Subban.
That was the same day, I guess, though. Technically.
Was it?
It was.
It was close.
Yeah,
I still think that Kessel trade got us the best tweet I've seen in years. And it was, I don't remember what Kessel said first. But the Coyotes respond with, "Now wait a minute. You can put a hot dog on your dashboard in your car before practice and cook by the time practice is over." He said, "Maybe this will be all right," or something like that. The exchange was golden, and I wish I could pull. I can't find it for the life of me.
I didn't know that was a real tweet. I thought it was just someone photoshopped into making it look like it was a real tweet.
Oh, photoshopped or not, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
you. For me,
it's 100% real.
I'm just kind of surprised that Arizona wasn't on his one of the teams on his no trade clause. I figured Arizona would have been one on there.
I think Rick Tocchet drew him in here. Most of all,
Oh yeah.
And from what I've heard, they have an amazing relationship. So I think that's what drew him into Arizona. So plus I've heard that players like coming here. I mean, living here is awesome. Mostly good weather all year and summer. They got a really young team with a lot of skill. There's like that. Honestly, it's a shit show here.
So I'm not gonna lie. Everything you just said.
Hopefully, it's going better.
Everything you just said cut out.
Yeah.
All right, fuck.
I wasn't gonna stop you. I was gonna let you keep going before I said anything, but I had to stop you after a little bit there.
No, I got the budget of the Coyotes, pretty much.
And you got the Coyotes on the internet.
Whatever.
That's all right. I don't think we'll have any Coyotes fans listening anyway.
All three of them. You're one, so. Unless you tell the other two to listen.
Oh boy. Fucking.
All right, moving on.
Fuck.
Moving on. Oh, what else happened this offseason here?
Well, I mean, we've already had the draft. That was. Honestly, I thought there were a few surprises.
Okay. I don't know any of the. Like, I don't follow prospects or nothing like that. I'm not familiar with him at all. But I am familiar enough with Cole Caulfield and what everybody was saying, that he's going to be a top 10 pick, but instead he falls down to 15 on Montreal. Because he's just a mini human, basically.
My thing with the draft is I'm not a big prospects guy either. But if I'm looking at team needs and they're not drafting team needs, that means that the other school of thought is they're picking up best available player.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't know that that's – I can't think of a situation where that's the best strategy for me.
Well, the reason why
I'm not in charge, I don't make money to do this shit. So, obviously, I'm not somebody you need to take fucking draft advice from. But – just seems like going best available bites you in the ass more often than not.
I mean, does it, though? Like, if you draft by team needs, like, how many times do you draft a player in the late, like, after, like, the first couple picks, that player is going to be 2, 3, 4 years before they make it to the NHL. Like, to fill a team need, there's other options, like free agency and trade. You're going to draft the best player available and then start building around that player and putting them in there. Like, drafting team needs is not the same as, like, the NBA or football or anything like that.
I mean, you can't tell me they don't draft team needs in baseball. That's what they do all the time.
Okay, baseball is different because they have, like, 25 rounds. So, I mean, you can just draft like, six teams in baseball. And, like, how many players actually make it to the show in baseball?
Right.
So it's kind of hard to compare the two sports that way, but
I think going best available, especially in the first round, if you're going best available and they're not in need, then it's a shit and they bust. you go best available and it's not a team need, then it's a bust on two fronts. Because not only do you not get, not even take a chance on getting somebody that could help you, that would be that bigger name, that better player, that first round pick, now you've also picked somebody who's done nothing to help your team because they just suck. Or the scouts just fucking got it wrong. However you want to look at it, you're hosing yourself twice when you do that.
I don't know. I think I'm always going to draft best player available and just instead of, I mean, the same can be said like if you draft by team needs, who says that player is going to turn out? You know, it's like.
But that's the point. That's the point too. If you draft best available and it's not a team need, you wasted a pick and they bust. You wasted a pick twice because that's what I'm saying. You wasted a pick twice because you got a bust that ended up not helping your team. You draft team needs and they bust. At least you went and tried to fill that need.
Yeah, but they still bust and then they didn't help. Whereas if you draft the best player available and that player pans out, now you got a pretty damn good player. And you can possibly trade one of the older players on your team that's in the same role. You can trade him and get some assets and possibly fill the need that they possibly need to fill and stuff like that through them. Or say they're in like Toronto's situation where they have so many good players where you can draft or you can trade one of your assets, one of those good players, for assets mm-hmm. and plus other things to fill your needs. Like, I think every single time I'm going to draft the best player available all the time. And especially nowadays, like players that play center, they can also play wing. Players that play wing, they can sometimes play center as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of players that are interchangeable like that. So, I don't know. I think I'm always going to draft the best player available and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's necessarily, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to draft strategies.
No.
I do understand both.
Right.
I just have, you know, just personal preference for me. I feel like it's almost more conservative to hit team needs.
See, I would,
and especially.
Go ahead.
Especially if you're a team that's looking to improve, or you're a team that's, essentially if you're a team that's looking to improve, it's killer, man. When you waste picks getting guys that are best available in a spot that you've already got locked down. There's no team I can think of that is just so bad. Their team need is wingers, centers, defensemen, goalies. There's no team like that. Sure, they might need all those positions, but there's no team that doesn't have top guys that could play anywhere in the league at least D or at least forward. There's not a single team like that.
Right. See, my only thing is, like, it's kind of like what I said before, is, like, that player, like, he might not, he fills a need, but he might not be ready for 3 or 4 years. So, right. I mean, if you need that player, you need that position to be filled, and you have to wait 3 or 4 years for that player to come up there to fill that, that's a bad GM. That's a horrible GM.
Right.
So basically, you would be a horrible GM, is what I'm saying.
I mean, if that's how you feel.
That's exactly.
That's how you feel.
Is that how you do it on NHL 19?
Yeah, that's why I don't do GM mode on NHL 19, because I can't manage money.
I can't either. I have to hand out money like crazy.
If I wasn't married, my bills would never be paid on time. I'd constantly be paying late fees, because I would just forget.
Right. All right. So one of the last things that's come out in the hockey world, which doesn't really pertain to us here in the United States, since we don't get to watch His Holiness, is Don Cherry. Don Cherry may not be renewed for the Coach's Corner, which there I saw something else on there. It was on Facebook. On Complete Hockey News, I think it was, where Don Cherry said that was a lie and that they're talking and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's Don Cherry. How much can you actually believe that he says? The only reason Don Cherry makes any news here in the States is because he's always talking shit about the States or about some team. Basically, last year was Carolina calling them a bunch of jerks, which I actually love what Carolina did, as they made money off Don Cherry by making the bunch of jerks t-shirts.
That whole back and forth, I went from side to side just loving it, because they just egged him on and pissed him off more, and he just reacted more. And it was that they played together with each other so well, even though Don Cherry wasn't a willing participant in it. It was just fantastic.
I like what Carolina, what their social media team's doing now. They've kind of become trolls. When Montreal offered Sheeta Aho, Carolina tweeted out a poll that said, will we match the offer sheet? And the options were yes and oui, the French version, the French language of yes.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah.
I had no idea what that was.
Yeah, no, French words are spelled it's just random letters, and you just pronounce it with enough phlegm in your throat, and people will just believe that you're speaking French and know what you're saying.
I'm just all America, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I live not far from Quebec in Canada, so I learn some French, but I do like Carolina, how they've kind of just become these trolls on social media here lately. I've actually enjoyed a lot what they've done. I mean, they're finally relevant in hockey world now for the first time since 2006 when they won the cup. So now
I wish more teams did that stuff, you know.
So do I. I think it'd be fun.
Like, you see Vegas. Vegas has tweeted out some funny stuff, but
yeah, Vegas little spurts. Vegas came into the league just trolling everybody, and then they fired their social media manager last year because he pissed some people off. And it's a very
PC culture now, you know.
That's the biggest problem. Yeah. But and we can talk about this more later too, or on a different episode. Me and Mike, you know, we were talking about this earlier. Just different leagues, different teams and stuff have been shot down and closed and folded. And fucking April 1st, you know, minor league hockey, man. April 1st comes around, and the guy that still had the access and the passwords to the River King or Mississippi River King, sorry, Mississippi River King's Twitter, puts out a tweet on April 1st, and I think every single team in the SPHL responded to it, just all saying different shit. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, mother. Like, I almost texted the dude, being like, dude, you can't fucking do this, man. Like, you're too many people want this to happen for you to just sit here and troll everybody, you know?
Right. So before I actually forget, because I completely forgot about this, was Artemi Panarin.
Oh, yes.
Is now a Ranger. I completely forgot all about that. It wasn't that.
Did you see the press release they had? Or, like, the big Jumbotron they had up in MSG?
Yeah, they had his face photoshopped onto a Ranger left-handed player. On a left-handed player.
There was no way he was going to Colorado, if you ask me.
No, he made it pretty clear that he wanted to go to a major, major city. So his options was only in New York City or Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is
fucking terrible.
Yeah, they're basically going to be starting their own little rebuild and whatnot here shortly. So New York is on the other end of the rebuild, where they're starting to add their pieces together and build a team off that. So New York Rangers are another team that had a pretty good offseason. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to be one of those teams that...
I think they'll be in the bubble, and then they won't make it.
Yeah. I think the same for Jersey as well. They're probably going to be a bubble team. Mm-hmm. They'll probably...
They added Brian Boyle mid-last year, too.
A couple years ago, I think. But they added P.K. Subban, and they added Wayne Simmons on a one-year deal. P.K.'s got 3 years left at $9 million. Then they got Jack Hughes, so he's going to be probably their number two center behind Heischer, unless he beats him out for the one spot. So New Jersey's going to be another one of those teams that's going to be a bubble team. I think this year it's actually going to be the first time in a while where there's going to be five teams from the Atlantic Division. It's either going to be 4-5, or 4-4, or 5-3, for the Atlantic Division to make the playoffs this year, which I haven't seen that.
Well, and I mean, you look at the Atlantic Division, I can't, and I don't watch a ton of Eastern Division or Eastern Conference hockey. I'll say that right up front. Obviously, the Metro has kind of been running the show, but aside from Tampa, because Tampa's in the Atlantic, right?
Yeah.
Aside from them, I feel like it's kind of been a fucking moving dwarf. Who's going in the playoffs from the Atlantic, or who's actually going to be worth this shit in the playoffs, I guess would be more accurate statement. You had the Rangers make it to the second round once or twice, I think. That's 3-4 years ago even for that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've pretty much just been looking at, this year's disappointment aside, you've been looking at the Lightning.
Yeah, the Lightning's been one of the best teams in the East for the last few years. They've gotten close, but they still haven't been able to...
I think they're due.
They're
honestly.
They're basically like what the Capitals have been the last few years, where they couldn't,
yeah.
Where the Capitals couldn't get past the second round, then they finally do, and then they go and win the cup. I mean, Tampa, they have to eventually. I mean,
well, they were there in 15.
I'm just looking at the standings, and they're just fucking ridiculous.
I don't remember. I know they were there recently. I don't remember the year right offhand.
It was the last. It was the last Hawks Cup, so I'm pretty sure that was 15.
Yeah, it might have been a few years ago.
Yeah. And that team was not anywhere near as good as this year's team. I remember when the conference finals came. It was really. It could have been any of the four teams. There was no clear cut. Yep, they're gonna make it. It was a good playoffs.
Well, I think this year is probably one of the best playoffs in the last few years.
I can't disagree with you on that, but I'm definitely how it went.
It was crazy. It was unexpected.
I mean, every one seed was knocked out in the first round. Like, that's the kind of chaos I love it, and I need more of it.
And that's the reason I don't understand why people watch basketball. Basketball at any level. Because you look at college basketball and you've got a 1 seed versus a 16 seed from the school that you've never heard of. And then you look at the NBA and it comes down to Golden State and until LeBron moved the Cavs every fucking year.
Yeah.
So why bother watching? Why bother watching? Yeah, this year was better because you had the Raptors won it, and they were playing not the Cavaliers, but the Cavaliers suck because, well, LeBron decided I'm going to leave.
Right.
I'm going to go to L.A. and play on a shittier team. But
I don't know anything about basketball, but then the Lakers suck too.
Oh, yeah.
They had LeBron.
No, they were.
They just had LeBron. They only had LeBron though. Like now they got Anthony Davis. They have LeBron.
I forgot. You live near Toronto, so now you're a huge.
I don't live near Toronto, actually. And I've been around this town my whole life because that's where
it's Canada. I mean, you're close enough, right?
Well, no, he only knows about the Raptors is because that's the only good thing that's happened to Canada in the last few years for them winning championships.
Yeah,
the
exactly. No, I've been a big Raptors fan, like, my whole life. You're not going to believe me because they just won the trophy, but whatever. Fuck you guys. But
it's the only team.
I've been a big Raptors fan my whole life, along with the Leafs and every other sports organization in Toronto, minus soccer and the CFL, because the CFL's a joke, but...
I could have sworn Blackhawks fans said that in 2010 too. I've been a fan my whole life.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard this one.
Yeah.
So
I don't believe it.
CBA. That's what. That's coming up here soon, isn't it? Next year, the year after.
I like to not think about it because I know the chances of a lockout are always high. as long as Gary Bettman is the commissioner.
Well, I'm just wondering what they're going to do with the cap. If they're going to, because now the owners, the ones that wanted the cap, are now, well, not all the owners wanted the cap, but some of the owners wanted the cap when they first put it in place. But now, or no, it was the owners that wanted the cap in 2005. It was the players' union that didn't want the cap.
I don't think there's any way they have a full season. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. But
can you imagine?
I wonder how much.
Oh my god,
dude, it's
that'd be so boring.
I do wonder though, legitimately. I wonder if letting them play in the Olympics is going to be brought up. I understand the reason for not wanting it, but as it sits now, they're giving teams bye weeks. So what fucking difference does it make?
Right.
And that's my thing. You're giving teams bye weeks. What's a 2-week break in the season?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes I think it makes the Olympics that much more fun to watch too.
It does, and I mean, and there's definitely something to be said about the name recognition of having these NHL guys playing in the Olympics. But there's also something to be said about having no name guys players that you discover, yeah, and amateurs, which is what the Olympics were set out originally to be.
Yeah, but then you get a powerhouse team like Russia that half their players, they have their own league there. When you got, you know, exactly, America and you got Canada, all their players are playing in a more professional league than the KHL, because the KHL is a joke. But you got Russia is a powerhouse when it comes to their own hockey players there. And without NHL players, you're going to see Russia winning gold in the Hockey Olympics for a very long time. No other team has a chance against Russia.
Honestly, I'm perfectly fine with that because I don't care for the Olympics at all anymore. Like, it just, when I was younger, it was cool. But, like, now it's like, oh, the Olympics, I don't care. Like,
oh my God,
that's just me. I don't care about the Olympics. I know it's an American, but
shame on you.
I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I love the World Championships. I love Junior Championships. I love anything that has to do with hockey. And I think it's a joke not having the NHL players there in the Olympics.
Oh, you put an international match on and the U.S. is in it, I'm instantly an expert on that sport. I don't care what sport it is. I'm instantly an expert on it. It could be the first time I'm watching it, but you come up to me and I know everything you could ever want in that sport.
Okay, like if we want to defeat the Russians, then what the U.S. and Canada should do is just make a North American team and just destroy the Russians like that.
Yeah, they destroy the world. No other sports team would ever be able to do anything against that.
Oh, then they had that a few years ago. What was it, like the World Cup or something?
Oh yeah, the World Hockey.
Yeah, but
that was pretty cool.
That, but the NA team, that was stupid,
that was cool.
The NA, wasn't it, was like 18 or 21 under?
Yeah, so they had the North American 21 under team for North America, for U.S. and Canadian players.
McDavid was on the team, I think.
It was like McDavid, Matthews, I think there was Larkin, Eichel, Matt Murray, played goalie. Yeah, it was Stavis. I mean, he still lost, but.
Stupid fucking jerseys, if you ask me.
I love the black jerseys, my favorite.
I hated them.
But then, of course, Canada comes up top. They always do.
Should have been red, white, and blue.
That was Adidas' first outing jerseys, too, wasn't it? After they picked up the NHL contract.
Yeah.
Oh, can I love the Adidas jerseys.
So do I. They're really nice.
They're so comfortable.
Yeah, they're super comfy when you wear them.
Okay, but the reason I was bringing up the CBA is because I'm wondering what's going to happen with the cap. Because there's talk now where everyone's bitching about the cap, basically, because it's finally catching up to Toronto for the first time. So now everyone has an issue with the cap. So I'm kind of wondering if they're going to try and do what the MLB does, which is impose a luxury tax.
I'm not saying this because I'm a Leafs fan, but I feel like it punishes teams for drafting good. Think about it. Like, look at Chicago. Chicago was in the same boat. They drafted good. I mean, they didn't have to overpay some of their players, but they drafted good, and now it's biting them. There's other teams that's happened to before.
No,
like Tampa Bay drafted good. Now it's biting them in the ass.
And here's
it's a silly system, and I think a luxury soft cap is necessary, but will it ever happen? Probably not.
Here's the thing, too, when you look at it, because I remember, I don't remember if it was ESPN back in the day, NHL Network, whatever, but you can, in the States, you can get Cherry Show and Hockey Night in Canada. Like, that'll pop up on NHL Network every few weeks or, you know, once a week or something, whatever the fuck it is. And I remember the last time this was an issue for, I don't remember if it was Toronto, Montreal, doesn't matter. It was a Canadian team. And the biggest issue they were talking about was that, if I remember right, the league, the cap and everything is based on U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
So it adversely affects Canadian teams because of the exchange rate.
Yeah, it's all done in American dollars because the NHL offices are all in New York City. But
in America rules. That's why.
But it also, the hard cap also saved some of the Canadian teams like Calgary. They were getting ready to close up shop. I think Ottawa was another one. I mean, Ottawa's not making any money. Like, let's be honest here. Not many people want to go to Ottawa with what they have going on up there.
Not many people even want to go to a game in
Ottawa. No, they don't.
The Melnick has turned the fans against him, and everything he does right now for the team is probably a big fuck you to the fans, because he doesn't give a shit. I think he just wants to prove a point and get the team sent somewhere else.
Yeah, I was about to say that some might be a tactic for relocation.
Yeah, I wouldn't
lose as many fans as possible.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
He doesn't want the team.
Where would Ottawa relocate to?
Houston. If they're Coyotes. I don't think the Coyotes aren't going to go there. Coyotes are staying in Arizona.
Hopefully.
But Ottawa, I think Houston, Quebec City. I don't know.
No, there's always Quebec
City. Sorry, Travis.
Yeah.
They're not going to move. They're not going to move an Eastern team out West since they finally got the teams or the conferences equal.
I think if Ottawa moves
in
the next 5 years, they're going to Quebec.
No, you know what? I don't want Quebec to get a team because I love seeing them bitch and cry every year. It's so funny.
They've already got a team. The fucking Canadians. We don't need another French team. Canadians are brutal.
We don't need another Canadian team. It is an American sport now.
Pretty much.
Christian, we never heard your opinion on the whole Don Cherry thing, did we? You're the only Canadian, the only one.
We didn't really talk about it much, but I've always liked Don Cherry just because it was since he growing up. I get that he's a little out of touch nowadays.
A little.
But a lot out of touch. I don't just have a problem with it. He speaks his mind. You don't get that a lot on TV nowadays. Everything is censored to hell. So
right.
I'm game for him being on the TV still. The stuff he says is fucking hilarious.
I like it.
It's good for the game, honestly. He can be a little senile, but I think TV needs it, hockey needs it still. I don't know. He's one of the old school guys that's still left. Everybody else is getting moved out. Same with Brian Burke. Brian Burke, I feel a lot of the same. But I say keep John Cherry. He's a national icon in Canada here. A lot of Canadians hating him now just because everybody's getting soft. But no, I'm all good for him staying on there.
I'll even say he's an international icon because you see like even in America, you see somebody wearing a ridiculous sports coat. People say, you know, what the fuck's Don Cherry doing down here?
Yeah.
And I thought the whole bunch of jerks thing, like just going back and forth between the two. Like I thought it was fucking hilarious, and he was getting played and didn't know it. I think his arguments on that show, in one way, how out of touch he is, and I don't mind. My other thing is I don't mind him being a home for Canada. I really don't, because we like we said, we don't have to listen to him in America fucking ever. But there are other things that he said, especially when the one that comes to mind is when McDavid got hurt, and how he's calling it a dirty play and this and that. Well, I'm like, no, dude, like
it's hockey.
That's a hockey play. Like that shit happened
a few years ago.
Yeah, when he broke his collarbone, missed the season.
Yeah, his rookie season put him out. Yeah, I heard all about that. That was fun times.
But that's just the big one to me that sticks out, and it's a combination of probably some of his most annoying traits for an American is just being a ridiculous Canadian homer and being out of touch. Like I can't even explain why he would call for whoever hit him to be suspended, and you know all this.
Brandon stuff. Manning, I think.
I don't remember.
Which yeah, because the Oilers acquired him, chunked him to the AHL, and bought him out. I thought that was kind of funny, but
yeah, no, they didn't buy him out. They sent him to their AHL team.
I thought they did buy him out.
They might have after a bit. but yeah. I think that's pretty much the main stuff we've all touched on. Unless you guys got anything else?
Nah, I got nothing else for today.
You know, yeah, Coyote's gonna win the cup.
There it is. Heard it here first.
Heard it here first.
All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you all for listening and joining us tonight. We will be back hopefully next weekend if we can get everyone together and bring you some more hockey talk. Hopefully some stuff happens. If stuff doesn't happen, then we'll get through it somehow. And then after that, we'll probably be pretty much done for the summer unless something big happens within that time. But we'll probably do another one. And then after that, we'll probably take a break for the summer and then come back with the training camps and stuff like that. So we will see you guys all next time.